Good morning. Praise the Lord. Great to be in the house of the Lord with the people of God. Today's special day is Communion Sunday. And so we join in with what Christians have been doing now for about 2,000 years. They carve out a special day, a special Sunday usually, where we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Before Jesus died, he took the Passover festival of Jewish people, where they celebrated the fact that they were liberated from Egyptian slavery. And he bent that supper, that last supper, that meal, around himself. Whereas the Jewish people had a lamb, he said he is the new lamb. That his body broken and his blood shed on the cross was the blood of the new covenant, his body broken in a new covenant that God was making with his people. And this was to be found in Jesus, because Jesus, of course, would die for the sins of the world to reconcile the world back to the Lord. That's what happened to you. That's what happened to me. And whatever it is, we bent the knee to King Jesus and gave him the keys and said, you drive. You know, I'll ride shotgun. You drive, you take my life, and he rules us through us because of that, because we basically let him drive, and he died for our sins, and we're reconciled to a holy God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus takes the Passover meal and bends it around himself, and now what we do every Communion Sunday, however often that a church does this, some churches, I've been a part of a church that did it every Sunday, actually. And then some churches do it second Sunday, we're first Sunday. However often we do it, Jesus left us a lot of freedom, a lot of latitude, but we are to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Odd thing to celebrate the death of someone, especially the founder of Christianity, but this is because in God's strange mercy, in God's gracious mercy, this is how God wins the war over human sin and demonic evil and brings us back to him and gives us victory over sin in our own lives and also over demonic forces in the world. This is what we're doing today. We partake of the Last Supper. And today, I want to draw our attention to a particular passage as we meditate on the Last Supper. We'll have a scripture passage. Then we will distribute the meal. The worship team will lead us in worship as we are meditating over what communion means to us this day. And then we will later on have a time where we'll dive deeper into the presence of the Lord through some guided prayer. But before we get into all that, I wanted to turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark 12, verses 1 through 12. Mark 12, verses 1 through 12. However you get there, if you're digital, if you're analog, we got you. Right, it's cool. But if you want to get to Mark chapter 12, Gospel of Mark chapter 12, verses 1 through 12, that'd be amazing. This is a parable from Jesus that he told, and a particularly pointed parable pointing to his religious critics. Jesus had a lot of critics in his life, particularly from the religious sects who were competing with him because he didn't like the fact that he was getting very popular and he was saying things that they did not necessarily agree with. And so he's aiming this parable at his critics. And this is near the end of his life. Here's the parable, Mark chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. Jesus says this. Jesus then began to teach them in parables. A man planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a pit for the wine press, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants to collect from them some of the fruit of their vineyard. But they seized him, beat him, and sent him away empty-handed. Then he sent another servant to them. They struck this man on the head and treated him shamefully. He sent still another, and that when they killed, he sent many others. Some of them they beat, some of them they killed. He had one left to send, a son whom he loved. He sent him last of all, saying, they will respect my son. But the tenants said to one another, ha, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. So they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. Haven't you read this passage of the scripture that the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Then the chief priests and teachers of the law and the elders looked for a way to arrest him because they knew that he spoke in the parable against them. But they were afraid of the crowd, so they left him and went away. It's a pretty devastating parable from Jesus. The background from it is that this is a practice that we found across the world, actually. You could call it tenant farming, or in our country, we called it sharecropping. We saw it with the relationship between landowners in the United States. And after the Civil War, you saw this relationship with landowners and a lot of freed black slaves or former slaves, and also some poorer white people, where they would rent out their land, this land they owned, that they didn't have any ability to farm, and they would rent out the land, and they'd say, look, you know, you farm this, and you get to keep a share of the crops. You give me a big share of the proceeds and also a share of the crops. And this way you can work the land, you can feed your family, and then I, as a landowner, am going to get some money, right? Now, that may seem kind of clean. Obviously, that was kind of shady. Sometimes, especially after the Civil War, and we're still dealing with a big race issue here in the United States. But that's how sharecropping, and then also another form of this, tenant farming, which is a different version of it, that's kind of how this worked, right? And that's what Jesus is describing here. This is a practice that his hearers would have been familiar with. It's just something that's very familiar to them. So the description here is a man who does this. He's got this land, and he goes, he sets up these tenants, and he says, hey, I'm going to set you up for success. I got a vineyard for you. I got everything you need, and you go ahead and farm, and then I will occasionally send somebody to get my share of the crops, right? Which also can be translated into money, right? So this is a pretty good, sweet deal. But when he sends these people, sends the tenants, he sends his representatives to collect, they hurt them. They beat them because they want to keep everything for themselves. It's you're gonna do this to the owner? He owns the vineyard. What are you doing? He owns the whole shebang. You're gonna treat his representatives this way? And they're like, yeah. Right? And so he sends representative after representative. They kill some, they beat some, and they kill some others. Right? This is interesting. You know, you could think like this guy would be like, oh, okay, I'm gonna just kill all of you. Right, I'm going to just destroy you because I sent everybody I could send, and you keep treating him shamefully, which by way of extension says what you think about the owner. But he doesn't do that. His logic is very odd. He says, okay, I know I have one more to send. Who's he going to send? I'm going to send my son, who I love. And I read the parable, and I'm like, is this guy wise? I mean, the best indicator of future behavior is past behavior. I'm like, wouldn't you think, hey, man, they killed all these other guys. Aren't they going to wipe out your son, who you love? But that's who he sends. The last is his best. He saves the best for last. He doesn't slay them. He says, I know. I'm going to send my boy. You will respect my boy. Their logic is, oh, this is the guy who will inherit the whole bit one day. He's the heir. If we kill him, we don't even have to bother with like people coming back and forth and us having to wipe out these representatives. It's all going to be ours. Yippee. Right? Not realizing that they're homicidal maniacs. And that's what happens. He sends his son, and they kill his son. And that's when he says, okay, I'm going to wipe everybody out. Right? Jesus says, and then what will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. Notice this. He will kill the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Again, counterintuitive. You'd think that he'd say, oh, well, that didn't work, right? That didn't work. I'm out of this whole deal. I'll let the land go fallow. I'll sell it to somebody else who wants to take care of it, whatever. No. He's like, no, I'm going to find better people, right? He won't give up on this idea of letting people run stuff in his place, right? Jesus, of course, is aiming this at his religious critics. He's saying this: you have rejected all the prophets before me. Everybody who God sent, you rejected all of them, right? Including John the Baptist, who is Jesus' cousin, by the way, right? You've rejected all of them, and now you're rejecting me. I'm your last shot. I'm your last shot. You better listen up, right? I'm your last shot, pal. Because if not, you're going to get destroyed, and he's going to give it to somebody else. He's going to give this whole covenant people thing, right? Which then was, you know, we would now call Judaism. I'm going to give this to somebody else. The owner is not dependent upon you. God is not dependent upon you. He can find other people, right? And that's what happened, right? You may say, well, when did this happen? Well, 70 AD, when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and changed Judaism for forever. Jesus was constantly warning, you don't get it, you don't know what's coming. The Romans absolutely obliterated Jerusalem. To this day, the temple's not been rebuilt. And then what happened to the Christian movement? The Christian movement started out Jewish, right? You read the New Testament, it's written by entirely Jewish people, right? And then quickly became Gentile, which is true to this day. He gave it to other people, right? That doesn't mean that God doesn't care about his covenant people or something like that, right? There's a lot of stuff in the scriptures about end times and Israel. We can hash that out with somebody else some other time, right? It gets real murky real quick. But the Lord wasn't playing around. He saved his best for last. This what Jesus quotes here in this bit of what looks like poetry, it's kind of indented to show you that it's poetry. It says this in verse 10. The stone the builders have rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. It's from Psalm 118. It's a picture, it's an architectural picture. The cornerstone was a stone. It functioned in a way to set everything the way it was supposed to go. It's the first stone you'd lay if you're building something, right? And it was kind of like its own leveler, actually. It would determine the rightness and the sureness of everything else built afterwards. And here's Jesus saying, I'm the cornerstone. I'm the cornerstone of this project that started in what we now call the Old Testament. I'm the foundation. That's what you're looking at. You get rid of me, you can't have this. I'm the foundation. The Lord saved his best for last. His logic could have been at first, I'm going to just destroy everybody. After like sending the first guy to collect, he could have said, I'm going to wipe everybody out. He didn't. Through mercy, he kept sending people. And even after they beat him, and even after they killed him, he said, I'm going to keep sending because he's merciful. He's not a dupe. He's merciful. And lastly, he says, I will send my son. He saved the best for last. When we take communion this morning, we are looking at the fact that the Lord saved his best for last, and it's still true. When we take communion, Jesus is constantly represented before us again as God's best. He's still saying to us, I am giving you my best. Over and over again, my best is Jesus. And we need reminders of this, right? We need reminders of this because we may think, you know, man, I've screwed up too many times. He's not going to send anything. He's done with me. He's going to wipe me out. It's like, well, God's patience does have a limit, true. But before you get there, it's deep and wide. And so on Communion Sunday, we are reminded, God's still reminding us, I'm sending you my best. I've sent you my best. He's still the best. Receive him. Receive him with all your mistakes, with all your sin. Receive him, right? But it's also a reminder, we can't have the things of God without the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. You hear people say, this is why we can't have nice things. Right? You can't have blessings from the Lord, answered prayers, right relationships in your family, God's presence in your life, presiding over you, and not just in the good times, but also the times that are really hard. We can't have all that without the cornerstone that is Jesus. This is a reminder to us. Grab onto the cornerstone. Stay with him. Stay with him. He's still God's best, and he's still God's only. There is no other way. Would the elders come up? I'm going to prepare to distribute communion. Elders will distribute communion, and the worship team will lead us in worship. And as the worship team is leading us in worship, and as you're encountering the Lord, go before the Lord. And if you have sin to confess, confess it. If you've got a relationship to get right, commit to the Lord to get it right, or at least to make a first step, right? You got forgiveness to extend to somebody, don't hold unforgiveness in your heart. It's toxic, right? It's like eating rat poison and hoping someone else will die. Let the Lord minister to your heart. If he brings up hard things that are tough to hear, right? Remember, he's looking at us saying, I'm giving you my best. I'm giving you King Jesus to rule and reign over your heart. Not as a tyrant, but as a merciful shepherd. Hear the hard thing. Hear the tough thing. Hear comfort. Hear encouragement. And know that he has given us a wonderful shepherd. And this shepherd is his best. And it also, this shepherd is his only. Let the Lord be the cornerstone in your heart. Let's pray over the elements in our time. Father God, in the great name of King Jesus, we declare that you have sent us your best in Christ Jesus. Thank you that you didn't skimp. You didn't get cheap. Instead, Lord, you gave us your best, your Son. In the name of King Jesus, Lord, help us to receive him as we take communion as your best. Help us to see his worth, his excellency, and let any idols in our heart be diminished and be obliterated by the worth and excellency of your best, the capstone, King Jesus. In the name of Jesus, preside over our time in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen. Glory be to God. I want to apologize. I forgot to read the prayer of confession before we got the communion. Pastor's bad. Sorry about that. But we will read the prayer of confession, take communion, and then we'll read the prayer of pardon. Cool? All right, rock and roll. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done. And we have done what we ought not to have done. And there is no health in us. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who are penitent according to your promises declared to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. And grant, merciful Father, for his sake, that we may live a godly, righteous, and obedient life to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Praise him. All right, prepare your hearts to take communion. First, the wafer. In accordance with the way the Lord has ministered to your heart, the body of Christ broken for you, take and eat. Now, the grape juice. In accordance with the way the Lord has ministered to your heart, the blood of Christ shed for you, take and drink. Great thing about our Lord is that we can come to Him and come clean. We can confess, and then we can be made clean. We're given pardon. We're given forgiveness by the grace of King Jesus. Whatever the Lord would have you do, if it is repenting from sin, if it is extending forgiveness, if it is reconciliation you need with somebody, take that first step. Do what He says. Right? At least take a step. If you need a buddy, if you're saying, I don't trust me to do it, whatever it is He's put on your heart, bring a buddy, right? Have somebody you can be accountable to help you and to walk with you in whatever He's put on your heart. Amen? We get to read a prayer of pardon. This is someone else's prayer. It's your heart because we know the Lord cleanses. We know the Lord forgives, and that's beautiful. Let's go ahead and read a prayer of pardon together as we celebrate the fact that the Lord allows us to be clean in His sight through the blood of Jesus. The Lord has hidden His face from our sin. He has blotted out all our iniquity. In Christ, in His cross, He has created within us a clean heart and renewed a right spirit within us. In this way, we are not cast away from His presence. We are endowed with His Holy Spirit, restored to the joy of God's salvation, and given a willing spirit to do all that He asks and desires of us. For in Christ Jesus, the perfect suffered for the imperfect, the sinless became sin for the sinner. We are forgiven and freed to live in a right relationship with God. Brothers and sisters, you are forgiven indeed. Amen. It's true. Believe that. It is rock solid true. Amen. All right, friends, we're going to go into extra innings here. When it comes to pressing into the Lord's presence, we're going to have a prayer time, a targeted prayer time. We're going to have some elements come up on the screen, and the elders will lead us up, will lead us into particular elements of prayer. We're going to have about, we have four different elements here in our prayer time. And we're going to be doing this because we said last year that we wanted to be able to press in the Lord's presence more as a congregation. We wanted to pray more. And we figured a really good first step to that is to take our communion time, where we're already pressing into the Lord's presence through communion, and to extend that and to say, hey, let's go to the Lord's presence in prayer. Let's do that together and be unified in prayer. So we got some specific items that we'll be taking you through. And the way it'll happen is an elder will come up, and an elder will, you'll have the items appear on the screen. An elder will pray, and they will give a few minutes for you to pray, right? A lot of people want to pray out loud, that's fine. A lot of people don't want to do that. You don't have to. You don't have to pray with anybody. If you want to sit in your seat and pray to yourself the whole time, rock and roll. Right? There'll be a time where if you want to get up and go sit with some people and circle up with some folks who you know who also want to pray with somebody else, then you can do that. And then we'll have a time at the very end where if you want more targeted prayer, especially from elders and other leaders in the congregation, you can raise your hand and receive prayer. Right? It's that simple. And we'll have a little bit more explanation as we go through each element in our time. But this is a time we can press to the Lord. We can press into the Lord in pretty targeted ways. We know the Holy Spirit will go beyond any of the bullet items that we have up here. If that's the case, obviously roll with it. Right? That's fine. We anticipate that. We can't cover everything, but we want to cover some of the most salient things that are happening in our world and also in our church. So let's go ahead and do that. We start out with the Lord's Prayer. And I'll be leading us in the Lord's Prayer. Then George will come up, and he will lead us in a time for prayer for our government and in different levels of government. Jonathan will come up later, and he will lead us in a prayer for our congregation. And then we'll round it out with the ability for people to raise their hand and receive personal prayer as well. So let's go ahead and just pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. I'm going to pray real quick. Father God, in the name of Jesus, please be with us in this time of prayer. We pray for your manifest presence in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of King Jesus. Father God, be with us. Help us, Lord, to pray in the Spirit, and help us, Lord, to have our minds and our hearts aligned with heaven as we lift up requests before you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
So as Myron indicated, we're going to have a time of prayer now for our government, national, state, and city. And some of those prayer points that we'll be praying for will, to end the violence in U.S. politics. Pray for safety, wisdom, and salvation for President Trump, Governor Ferguson, and Mayor Ebsen. Praying for the U.S. citizens to proclaim the gospel and for America to repent. So let's go to prayer, and I will lead out, and then we'll have a time for individual and private prayer. Heavenly Father, we do come before you. We are thankful that we have this great privilege of coming before you. Lord, sometimes we don't know how to pray or what to pray, but we know that when we come before you, Heavenly Father, your Holy Spirit speaks, and what we do not know and can't say, he speaks for us, Lord God, and we are so thankful for that, Heavenly Father. Lord, we do pray for our nation. We're very divided to the point of violence, Lord Jesus. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for a hand of healing upon us as individuals, upon us as a nation, Heavenly Father. Lord, we could pray that the violence would stop, but Lord, we need to have it begin with us. We need to have it begin individually, Lord Jesus. And so I pray that across this nation, Heavenly Father, for your Holy Spirit to go out and to calm hearts, to open up hearts to your truth, Heavenly Father, Lord God, and to bring a unity, Lord God, among the people of this nation, Lord Jesus. And we know that can only be done through you. We cannot do it individually. Lord God, I do pray for the safety of President Trump and Governor Ferguson and our Mayor Ebsen, Lord Jesus. We pray for whatever their activities are, wherever they're at, Lord God, that you would watch over them, you would protect them, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray for wisdom to make good decisions, Lord Jesus. Maybe they're decisions that they didn't realize they were going to make, but because you put it upon their heart, they did. So we pray for wisdom in the leadership of our nation, Lord God, and protecting the people, Lord God, protecting our innocent ones, Lord Jesus. And we just pray that as policies are made, Lord God, that you would guide them, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we pray for salvation. You know the hearts of each one of our leaders, Lord Jesus. Our national leaders, our local leaders, Lord God. I pray for salvation for them, Lord God. And I pray that they would come to a realization that they are battling against themselves, Lord God, that they need to turn their lives over to you, Lord Jesus. And so we pray for that, Lord God. We pray, Heavenly Father, I want to pray for Journey Church. Lord Jesus, that we would be committed to serving this community, Lord God, that we would be committed to coming together here in the needs that we have inside our church here, Lord God, and responsibilities that need to be met. And as we leave and go out into the community, wherever that might be, Lord God, that we would take you with us, Lord God. And we would have a great desire to win others for Christ, Lord God. We do pray for us as a nation, Heavenly Father. I pray, Heavenly Father, there are churches, Lord God, that teach and preach your word and your truth. There are others that don't do so. But I pray, Heavenly Father, for your Holy Spirit to come upon us and over us, Lord God, and draw us as a nation to our knees back to you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for who you are and what you are and what you can do through us, Lord Jesus, with your power, Heavenly Father, not our own. We thank you, Lord God. Amen.
We're going to have Elder Jonathan Franklin come up and lead us in prayer for our church specifically.
Let's pray for the church. Let's pray for the church. After I get done leading, feel free to pray with others around you or just by yourself in the pew. But let's pray. Lord, thank you for other people to serve you with. Thank you, Lord, for that we can be united in you, that you are our rock, that you are our shepherd, and that we can be united in following you. We pray for that unity, Lord. We pray that things that would divide, that you would take those away, that you'd help us to work through, keep our eyes on you. Lord, we do pray for a clear vision of what you have for us as a church, so we can be united around that. Lord, thank you for our neighbors and friends that you have us in relationship with. We pray for open doors to share the good news of your son with them. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes to the doors that are open around us. Give us courage to walk through. Give us the words to say. Would you open the hearts of our friends, neighbors, to want to know more about you? And with Vision Alaska coming up, Lord, we pray for just your leading in that. What would be the best way to be an encouragement to the folks there, to the folks in Edna Bay? Lord, we pray that you would just guide us in how best we can be a blessing to them. And we pray that that would be another way that we could unite around what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, friends, I'm going to round it out the last bit of our time where this is an opportunity for you to raise your hand if you want prayer, if you want anybody to pray for you. You can also, we're going to have a setup in the back where you can have this little bowl we're going to have out, and you can drop in a prayer request. If you want to use your Connect card on the back of your seat back to write down a prayer request, you can drop it in there. We ask one thing, if you're making a prayer request for someone else, give their initials, not their name. That way we don't, you know, we don't create something complicated for somebody who we're trying to pray for. But the Lord knows who they are, so we're fine. Don't worry about that. But you can drop in use one of the little cards in your seat back, and you can write down a prayer request, drop it in a bowl just back there, and we'll lift it up at the end of our time. We'll lift it up from up here so everybody can be praying for whatever it is that you've written down. But if you want to raise your hand and have somebody come pray for you, it's fine. If you want to pray in a small group, that's fine. If you just want to keep going by yourself, rock and roll. We will not rock your boat, right? It's about freedom. It's not about what you have to do. It's about what you can do. So we're going to give a few minutes for that to happen. And again, if you want to write one down, there's a table right in the back. If you look back there in a little white bowl that we were serving communion out of, you can just drop your prayer request there, and we got you, okay? So let's go ahead, and I'm going to pray for our time, for this movement of our time. And then after that, after we're all done here, the worship team will come up, they will lead us, and then we'll be free for the rest of our Sunday. Let's pray. Father God, in the great name of Jesus, we know that you care. We know that you hear us as we pray. Thank you, Lord, that we pray under an open heaven, that because of Jesus, we can come to our Father with boldness and assurance because of the great grace that we have before the throne of grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, hear us yet again. Hear us, Lord, and help us to know that we've been heard. Give us confirmation in our hearts that you hear us, that you are paying attention, Lord God. Help us to pray deeply for one another. Help us to be in alignment with heaven itself as we lift up one another's request before you. We declare our utter dependence upon you. We make a declaration of dependence on the holy God who loves us and who cares for us. In the great name of King Jesus, our Lord. Amen. I'm going to go before the Lord with a few requests that have been made. So let's pray, and I will pray, and as I'm praying, you pray. Okay? As I'm praying, you pray. This is a request for salvation for loved ones who've walked away from the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you that you are the God who leaves the 99 to chase after the stray sheep, the one stray. You are the God who can't wait for the prodigal son or daughter to come back home. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for whoever these people are who've walked away from you, loved ones who strayed away from you for whatever reason. I pray that they would know that the Father's arms are open wide. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that they would also know that the consequences for not hearing you and for tuning you out are eternal. That this is a heaven and hell issue. I pray that they'd feel the urgency, Lord. We know the wages of sin are death in this life and then ultimately in the next. I pray, God, that these specific people who you love, who you sent Jesus for, would feel the urgency, the weight of hearing your voice and turning back to the Father who loves, who cannot wait for people to to turn and to repent. I pray, God, whatever the barriers are, emotional, intellectual, if there's trauma, Lord God, I pray that you would help us as the church, or help, and not just this church, but whatever churches these people might be in contact with, or whatever believers they might be in contact with, I pray you'd give the individuals and churches the ability to meet, to hear them in their intellectual doubts, their emotional doubts, to help them to pass, to go through trauma, to move past trauma in life. Whatever it is, Lord, keeping them from you, we pray that you'd give us as Christians the ability to shepherd people past those things and to see you clearly for who you really are, the great God of the universe who loves us. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray that you and you through your people would win these people back to the kingdom. In the name of King Jesus, our Lord, amen. Pray also for someone who is entering recovery. And so let's go ahead and do that. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray for this person who's entering recovery. We don't know all the details, but we are praying for a speedy deliverance, Lord. If this is something like a recovery from addiction, or if it's just recovery from a medical issue, whatever's going on, we pray, Lord, for your hand of healing. We pray for you to stretch out your hand and do a great healing work. Go where we cannot go. Go where humans cannot go. Reach down into the soul. Reach down into the body. And do a great healing work, Lord God, and bring this person back to wholeness. We pray for those who love this person. We pray for their prayers. We pray that they'd pray effectively before you. We pray for people who are going to serve this person as they're going through this recovery. We pray for excellent service, for excellent care, and we pray for full restoration of this person back to where they're supposed to be, Lord God. Be with them, Lord God. Heal the mind, heal the body, heal the soul, heal the heart. In the great name of Jesus, amen. Lastly, we have a prayer again for salvation for a family friend and for this friend's family as well. So a family friend and then the friend's family. Let's go ahead and pray. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for this very special person. Thank you for the believers who have befriended the individual and the individual's family. Thank you for their strong witness, their deep commitment, their prayers, and their tenacity in Christ for the sake of the kingdom. We pray for this individual and for this person's whole family to come to know you. Lord God, thank you for magnifying witness among them. We pray, Lord, that you would help them move beyond whatever doubts they have. Shepherd them through those doubts. Help them to receive solid answers to solid questions. We also pray, God, that you would draw them to you, Lord, that they would understand they're being drawn by the Holy God, that they would understand they're being drawn to a wonderful Father who cares for them, who loves them, who sustains them, even in their unbelief. We pray, God, for these folks to see you clearly for who you really are, to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to respond to the gospel with a need for forgiveness, but then also with a heart of repentance. Lord God, you love these folks. We pray for that those who have connected with them, those believers who've connected with them, to continue to serve them, befriend them, and love them, and to continue to extend the gospel to them. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for them to come to know you and to come to know you now. Amen, amen. Glory be to God. Thank you for leaning into prayer. This is not just something that we do, of course, because we read the Bible. It says to do it. We need God. We simply need God. So we're praying desperately because we need God. If you have any suggestions about how we can improve our prayer time or anything like that, it's still relatively new for our church. We've been at it now for, over a year, I think. And so if you have any suggestions about, hey, you can tweak it this way, tweak it that way, let us know. We're not perfect, and we know we can always improve. But thank you for leaning in, and let's go before the Lord yet again. Friends, be blessed. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, may you be blessed. May you be blessed with the power and presence of the Holy Spirit from King Jesus to the glory of God the Father. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, be blessed. Amen, amen. Glory be to God.